Hi, this is Rodney Williams, working with Jeff Thiege on behalf of the Baw-Baw Arts Alliance for another Artist Chat. For many months now, we've had the privilege of talking with different creative people across Gippsland, and today we're at the incredible studio of Sue Atchison in Druin West.
Hi, Sue. Thanks for talking with us and as well as hosting us at your studio in this very unique bushland surround. How long have you been living here?
We've lived here for about 18 years now. The natural surrounds were the main reason we moved here. We were living in Bullen, so not so far away, but we always wanted to live on a bush block, and when this came up for sale, we snapped it up.
How does this environment inspire or influence your artwork and your practice?
Oh, massively, yes. I'm influenced by all of the Australian wildlife and bush, its deserts, its oceans, everything. And when we moved here, there was only a small cottage here, which is now my studio. And when we built the house, we built it to be part of the surrounds. We didn't want to hide any of it. And one of the other advantages of having a bush block is that the small animals, well, and larger ones, and bird life is amazing here. So that inspires me too.
Currently, you live on the same property as your working studio, which is a really impressive facility, which we've just had the honour of being shown around, and has a range of different aspects. Could you please describe it for us, for our listeners' sake?
My studio, it's a place where I can lose myself in whatever creative pursuit I'm right in at that time. My main practice is wood-fired ceramics, but I also paint and I wood carve, and I'm just about to start weaving as well.
Heavens.
I get bored easily.
So could you tell us a bit about some of the other aspects? Like you've shown us your remarkable kiln. You could please tell the listeners a bit about that.
So there are many different sorts of ceramicists, potters, sculptors. You tend to get led down one particular avenue, and you could do fine china painting, for instance. Right. You could make raku pieces. But right from the very beginning when I learned, I was introduced to wood firing, which means that you use wood as the only fuel for firing your kiln. And right, this creates a very individual effect, because as the wood burns, it creates ash and flame. And when that ash and flame touches the ceramic pieces, it creates its own glaze. Right. So every time, every piece is unique. My kiln, I built myself, which is common for wood-fired potters to do. But the bricks are quite expensive. And I found out about some bricks that I could use. So Northcote Pottery, which was a very old pottery in Northcote, was actually closing down its making facilities. So I went there and I took down their largest kiln over a period of about 6 weeks, I think.
Heavens.
And reclaimed all of the bricks, put them on pallets and got them delivered here, as well as other materials that were used in the kiln.
Okay, and
it's got heritage.
Yes, and it's got this South Yarra branding on the bricks and this beautiful shape. Are there any other key processes besides that firing that you've just talked about that you could also fill us in on?
Yes, so one of the things that's important to me is to use locally sourced products.
Right.
For my own life, I like locally produced foods, artifacts, whatever. Yeah. The closer it is to me is important. With my pottery, I actually dig some clay literally from around my studio and use that as a decorative aspect on the pieces. The work that I make in this way is decorated by clay from outside my studio, it's fired with wood from outside my studio, and my energy from in the studio.
Fantastic.
So it's very particular to here, to this block.
It has a real authenticity in it being so local and true, yeah, to its own sense.
It's been likened to the terroir of wine, which is very particular to one specific
Indeed.
Area, and pottery can be the same.
That's awesome, Sue. Now, your current project is a little different in that it's to restore the balance of positive vibes and energy in the world. You called it Flags of Hope.
So I've over the years, I've done many community projects. When I first thought of this project, it wasn't intended to be a community project, but people got behind me and said, we must do this. So together with two colleagues, Jesse McLennan and Russell Lilford, local artists in the area, we've organised the Flags of Hope project. The initial concept was in response to what's happening throughout all of the world, all the bad things that are happening, the wars, the abuse of power, the self-aggrandizement of individuals on social media, the environment, climate change, and things that are happening in our seas and in our countries. And there was so much negativity around that I just felt a deep sorrow about what was happening in the world. So we designed this project, which is based on Buddhist prayer flags. So when the prayer flags blow in the wind, the words blow off around the world and land where they're supposed to land. So we thought we could do this with the word hope, to make some flags of hope that blow around the world and hopefully land where they're supposed to land.
There's some in your studio. I saw some,
yes,
some Tibetan prayer flags, if I'm not mistaken.
I bought the Tibetan prayer flags to show people what they actually were. I'm not a Buddhist. It's not something that I
have a set
to,
of them at home, but, very similar from my daughter.
Yes. But this principle of sending goodness around the world is a really good, positive thing to happen. And what's happened because of that is that the people who have been involved in painting the flags have got some of this positivity too, because they feel more hope in their lives instead of watching the news and just being negative about everything. So it's been positive just for the people involved. Next week, we're going to be hanging all of the flags that local artists have painted. And this has been happening for quite a few months now. We've encouraged people to paint flags at home, to come to our communal sessions, which have been held at the VRI Hall through the Bourbon Arts Alliance. And next week, we'll be sewing them all together and hanging them in Civic Park in Warrigal, with the help of the local council, Bourbon Shire, who are really behind the project too and have supported us massively. Mm. So we'll be hanging them and having a celebration on Friday, July the 4th. I hope that people will get something of it, individuals will get something from it, and people who pass by and see the flags will understand and get something from that. Maybe it will stretch further. If more people are positive, then my ultimate aim would be that people in other areas take on board the concept and have their own Flags of Hope projects. So we could see little satellites happening all over the country. So the artists that have made some of the flags are very varied. There's been poems on some of them. There's just basic graphic images. There's full paintings, which would look lovely on your wall. There's a real variety of things, and everybody's style, individual styles, have come out in those too.
You've been painting these flags since May.
Yes.
Do you know how many you've got so far?
We've got no idea until they turn up at our sewing day.
Yeah, okay.
So we were aiming for 1,000, but it was going to be too hard to count, say, how many have you done? How many? You know, putting people under pressure. If someone does one flag, that's brilliant. I know that some of the artists have done 50. Wow. So there will be a number.
And who are your helpers? Who's the ones that have been giving you support in making the flags?
There's a great variety of artists, but the main people that have helped me with this is Jesse McLennan and Russell Lilford, two people who I work with quite commonly anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're all on the same wavelength, but everybody has been on the same wavelength. It's been really positive.
On another note, Binnie, long-standing participant in Open Studios, And we're wondering if you could please tell us about your own sense of that, how long you've been involved.
I think all of the artists that have been involved in Open Studios get positive feedback and positive energy from the whole weekend. For me, I've been involved since the second Open Studios, which I believe was 2008.
Goodness
so
me.
It's quite a long time.
Yes. Yeah, well, yeah.
It's gradually built for me to give me a very positive effect on my work. I get all sorts of visitors, and the comments that they make about what I've done, what I've made, what I've created, sometimes surprises me. So I have a story with whatever sculpture it is I'm making or painting, but sometimes they add another element which really rings true to me. So I value their input, and it really gives me a boost because people are so nice about what I make.
And well, there's good reason for that.
but every artist has doubts, self-doubts about what they make and what they paint and how they're doing their work. And for people to give you a pat on the back is really important.
Yeah, well, the work is very powerful and impressive when you see it.
Artists are never satisfied with their own work.
Yes.
You're always working to the next thing, and you finish one thing and you can always improve on it.
Speaking of the next thing, what are you considering now?
When I'm working, I lose myself in whatever I'm doing. But I think there's always a thought of what the next thing is going to be. And you're not consciously designing it or making it work in your head, but your brain is working subconsciously to create something out of nothing, which is what we as artists do.
Yep.
So I've been working on the Flags of Hope project, and when you're painting them, that's all you're thinking about. But what I'm eager to do next is do some proper painting on canvas. Proper painting. All of it's proper, but something feels more serious. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, because the Flags of Hope are transient.
Yes, exactly.
We'll move on from them. They will disintegrate. They will
Flutter in the breeze.
They will flutter in the... And the words and the meaning behind it will go wherever it's supposed to go.
Well, that's just so fantastic. Thanks ever so much for having us here today. Marvellous experience here at Drew and West on Old Telegraph Road West. And we're really delighted to have been able to discuss your ceramic ware and your practice. Just as a reminder for listeners, it's happening at Civic Park, Warragul, from 1:30 till 3:30 on Friday, July 4th, that's correct?
Correct, yes. And we'll actually be starting off in the Arts Centre and then moving out into the park.
Okay, fantastic. So as ever, we'd like to thank Paul Strickland from 3BRFM for his wonderful work with recording and editing. And so this has been Rodney Williams and Jeff Thiege from Baubu Arts Alliance with another edition of Artist Chat.